I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Plunta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, January 11th, 2015.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joseph.
So late last night, just before midnight, news, I guess, broke that David Bowie died at the age of 69. He's not somebody, I don't listen to that kind of music, but a significant person, I guess, in show business, and certainly musically, highly regarded, influential in his craft.
Right.
Was he someone that you listened to?
Not somebody that I can say I listened to, but I can say definitely probably influential in a lot of the music that I listen to. And I know that his music has been sampled in some of the things that I frequent. So I don't, you know, he's definitely a legend in the industry. Also, you know, and if you don't know him for his music, most other people know him as, you know, the man married to Iman.
Right.
A supermodel. So that was, you know, also pretty important because they were also interracial couple, married for over 25 years. And, you know, as we were saying in the industry, that's quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. And his last album just came out on Friday. And I guess you were looking it up. His birthday was Friday as well.
Yeah. So it's so weird that he passed away just shortly after. That's crazy.
Yeah, and apparently he'd been sick for a while. He had been battling cancer for about a year and a half. And I guess that was his time. But when news broke late Sunday night, Paul Myers, who I follow on Twitter, the great music writer, was trying to say that it was a fake, that it could have been like a publicity stunt or a hack or something like that. And he was trying to find reputable news sources to confirm. And I guess when he did find out, because it was then widely reported on, say, the BBC and the New York Times, that he was just broken up by it, shaking. It was one tweet. I guess for people who, because we're in our early 30s, people a little older than us and they're late
might be
30s.
A little more, you know, monumental to them.
Yeah.
But I mean, in any regard, I don't think there's anybody, you know, over the age of 30 anyway, who you couldn't say David Bowie to and they wouldn't know
mm-hmm.
who he is, right? You know, these other kids under 30, they might not know.
If they're music fans, they probably would. And you know, yeah, all of us.
Any
this,
music fan, yeah. Definitely.
And all of us this past Christmas, I mean, we all listened to his version of The Little Drummer Boy with Bing Crosby.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, and incidentally, that was, I think, they filmed that on for a TV special, and that was the last thing Bing Crosby ever did. So,
right. Well,
it all comes, I guess, full circle.
Together, full circle.
Sunday night, the Golden Globe Awards in Hollywood. Were you watching those?
I was. It was quite the show.
Yeah, you know, I was. I tuned in and out. I was doing other things and I was flipping around because Downton Abbey's also on at that time, and I like mm-hmm. to watch that show. But in the run-up to it, I guess NBC was trying to get people to watch it, and so they were promoting all the stars that were going to be on. And, you know, all the big stars were on, like people like Brad Pitt and Channing Tatum.
Right, right.
And Lady Gaga and Katy Perry. They also announced that Mel Gibson was going to be on,
mm-hmm.
which really surprised me.
That was funny.
Yeah. And the way that they handled it, I guess, with Ricky Gervais, I mean, the guy's still a dirtbag and an anti-Semite, but it was amusing, wasn't it?
It was, of course. It was hilarious. I think the whole, like, just to briefly recap, Ricky Gervais is, I have to say, I have never watched a full Golden Globes. I've never actually sat down and watched one, so this was, I have to say, like, the first time actually watching the whole show in length. And I thought it was actually pretty entertaining. I enjoyed it. Ricky Gervais is pretty funny. I don't know, like, how funny he actually is. I don't know if it's just the accent or if he's actually funny.
So you've never watched, like, Extras or The Office or The British Office or the other shows? No, really?
Hmm. No,
No, he's actually very fun. I've been a big fan of his for years. I mean, The British Office is one of the probably best sitcoms, not just British.
I've heard it's pretty funny.
Yeah, not just British sitcoms, but sitcoms in English, in the English language, I think.
I just feel like because I've already watched The Office, I can't.
The American one?
Yeah, I'm already tainted, so.
Yeah. No, he's a marvelous wit. I know a lot of people in the stand-up comedy business don't like him because he hasn't paid his dues. You know, he's just a comedy actor, really, and yet he can tour and fill stadiums.
Right.
When he hasn't really done stand-up, say, you know, the hardcore stand-up, like...
It's like, whatever.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Really, that makes you somebody if you've done, like, real stand-up.
Well, I think I mean, you look at someone like Louis C.K., and
yeah, he's pretty funny.
The way that he is because he's done all those shitty shows.
True.
You know, in rooms with nobody in them, and that's how you earn your comedy cred, if you will.
I guess so.
Yeah.
True. But, okay, he's all right. He hosts the show. He's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I laughed a few times. He's crude. We all like that. Some do, some don't.
He did get some criticism, though, because he was making fun of Jeffrey Tambor. And
who didn't he make fun of?
But I think that he came across as transphobic was one thing I read online.
Really?
Yeah. And people think that because, you know, we've come so far in the culture with say...
with everything.
Yeah, yes. And he made fun of Bruce Jenner and Caitlyn Jenner.
Did he? I missed that part. What
yeah.
did he say?
Well, he said that he hadn't hosted the show in a number of years, and he was back, and a lot has changed. Bruce Jenner's changed, which got a laugh. And then he said that Caitlyn Jenner didn't do much to advance, because there's been these advancements in our culture in terms of how we accept people who are transgender.
Yeah.
He didn't distinguish himself as a driver, because remember, he got into a car crash. Or
right.
Caitlyn Jenner got into a car crash, I should
yes.
say. And so he said that you know, that as a woman driver.
Okay, well, how is that being transphobic? People are so sensitive.
Well, I don't know, you know, that's, I'm just...
Whatever.
I'm reporting yeah. the news, if you will.
Okay, I know, but, you know, like, whatever. I don't think that's anything to take offense to.
But some of the things I saw, that he made comments about the show Transparent, which I've never seen. It's an Amazon show.
Yeah.
With Jeffrey Tambor, who plays someone who is making the transition to
right.
leading one's life as a female. Some of those jokes, I mean, seemed offensive to that community.
I didn't hear them.
Yeah.
I actually watched the whole show. I'm surprised I missed that part. That's how moving it was to me, I guess.
Yeah.
Those parts, but I...
But back to Mel Gibson, I thought that the line that he had... was, you know, trying to say something nice about Mel Gibson. He'd prefer having a drink with Mel Gibson, who is a notorious drunk and vicious when he's drunk.
Yeah, exactly. But
rather than having a drink with Bill Cosby.
With Bill Cosby, that was funny.
Yeah. If you had to choose, who would you choose?
Oh, my God. I definitely have to pick Mel. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bill. I just can't take the risk. I know you're, like, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but... I'm just going to not take my chances here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll just go for some crude talk with Mel.
You know, the what I found rather refreshing is because the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which gives out these Golden Globe Awards, they've been notorious for being corrupt and things like that, and
mm-hmm.
they don't have the reputation of being terribly honest in
right.
how they give out awards. They were Ricky Gervais was making jokes about them and
yeah.
about how corrupt the whole thing was. And,
yeah,
and
I noticed.
People just bought into it, I guess. You know,
well, yeah, he was like, you know, he's had me on here for 4 years. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Like, he's laughing. It's a joke. But, I mean, whatever. I guess something is keeping him there.
Because they the
like
ratings.
Something about it, and I assume so. The ratings, regardless of how he speaks of them.
So when you watch these shows, because a lot of the, I mean, I, to be frank, I mean, I follow television, but I mean, I haven't seen, as I said, I haven't seen Transparent, I haven't watched Mozart in the Jungle.
No, some of these shows I've never even heard of.
Yeah, a lot of them are on. like Netflix, Amazon, yeah. Hulu, and
channels we or things we don't subscribe
yeah.
to.
Yeah, and so when you watch even the movies, does that compel you to want to see what's nominated and what's won?
Yeah, that show, the My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend or something.
Yeah. It's a musical comedy show.
It's a musical comedy. I've seen commercials for it, and I honestly thought it looked really stupid. And I was like, oh, God, what is TV turning into?
Well, I haven't seen anything about it, but I know one of the actors is actually pretty good on there that I've seen in other things.
Well,
and
this girl, when she won, you know, she moved me so much. She compelled me to want to watch her show.
Yeah.
Just by how moved she was that she had won this award. So.
And that's on the CW, I guess.
Yeah.
We get that here, don't we?
We do.
Yeah.
So I'll have to actually check it out. You know, there were some people that won that I was like, honestly moved to almost to tears. The only two people I was really hoping to win was Taraji P. Henson for Cookie Lion in Empire.
And she did win, right?
And she did, and I almost cried.
Huh.
Because I was really rooting for her, obviously. She's amazing in that role. And Lady Gaga for American Horror Story. I think I felt tears at that time. She was, because she is so deserving of that award.
You know, and I don't follow current musical acts or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Justin Bieber, to me, is no different than Katy Perry.
Yeah.
But she's very talented. I was listening to a couple of things that she's done with Tony Bennett.
Well, I know you're a fan of Tony Bennett.
Yeah,
so.
And I was listening to she did a cover of a Carole King song.
Yeah.
Which I can't, it was so good I can't remember the name of it now.
She's amazing.
And it was just, I couldn't believe just, she's very young, isn't she? She's our age or younger?
She is, like maybe even a year younger.
Yeah.
But she's definitely, our age. And extremely talented. Even in her speech, she said she always wanted to be an actor before music. Right? And I think it's definitely, I think it's all working out for her, and I think it'll all work out great, because I enjoy watching her
an
actress.
So that thing that she won for, it's a show that you've mentioned here before that I don't watch. That's actually, it's a legitimate acting show, right? I mean, it's
absolutely.
Not, it's not just horror stuff.
No, it's like legitimate acting, and acting to the point where it's like, you know, I'm sure I've told you before, you become so engaged in the character and the role that they're playing. Like, it's so extremely engaging. Kathy Bates is another actress on the show, and she's always, you know, she has this magic where she just takes a role and makes the person come alive. Like, really, it's hard for, and you know, it's hard when you see an actor that's usually really good that gets typecasted.
Yeah.
She has a really great sense of being able to do that, and I find that Lady Gaga, I wasn't sure about her at first when I heard that she was going to be in the new season. I thought she's a singer, and they're just doing this for the name and the status.
Yeah.
But she is, she is unbelievably good as an actress. She makes this role come alive. She is like, it's like you envision a whole other entity. It's amazing what a really good actor will do to a role, you know. And I think she's brought that to the character, which is great, because it's almost now, you know, that she's made it for herself. She's no longer just the singer, Lady Gaga, right?
Yeah, I mean, we all see her in these wild outfits and the sort.
Right.
And that's how you assume she is. But, I mean, then you read about a little bit about her, which I've done over the last little while, that, you know, she was raped at one point and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a remarkable life story.
It is. And it's, you know, good for her. She's definitely used her skill and all of her experiences to get to where she is now. So it was great. I was happy to see her win.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, some other really great things. Leonardo DiCaprio, it was nice to see him thank the indigenous people for their land and the use of their land during filming. And you know, the important message to keep the indigenous, their story alive. I thought that was really nice to do.
The and then Denzel Washington got a Life Achievement Award.
Lifetime Achievement Award, which is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that clip of his career. I mean,
isn't that just span like pretty much our lifetime, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember him from St. Elsewhere. He was a young doctor there.
Right. And then, Better Blues.
You haven't seen that, but I mean, yeah, then Glory, and then yeah, right through to, and the one thing I noticed when they showed all those the credits, not a bad. I mean, there's some great, amazing, remarkable performances. All good performances. There's not something they say, well, he wasn't that good in it, or he was terrible in that.
Right.
There are very few actors who are like that.
No, he's another one. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was saying, like with Kathy Bates, he's another actor who just is able to take a role and just recreate it. It's amazing. It just brings the character to life. And he has like an uncanny ability to do that in almost every movie that we've seen, which is why it's so, you know, he's extremely deserving of this award that he won. There's not a movie I can think of, like you said, throughout my lifetime that he's been in where I could say that was a crappy movie.
You know, so I looked it up because when I heard that he was getting a life, I thought he's a little young for that, but he's 61.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
He doesn't look 61.
No. He looks like God. Like, does he ever age? Like, so he looks like he's in his late 40s maybe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see on there when he went up to the stage without his glasses, and his wife told him he needed his glasses, and he said he doesn't need his glasses.
Yeah.
And then he tried reading his speech, or all the people on his list, and he couldn't read it because he needed his glasses.
Yeah. So I guess that he's the right age then to get a Life Achievement Award. Yeah. But I thought that was really cute that he brought his wife and his kids.
It was.
And he's, I mean, they've been married a really long time. I mean, you talked about a long marriage in Hollywood. I mean, he and his, they've been married as long as we've been alive.
Since 1983.
Yeah, so.
Four children, yeah.
Yeah, and.
34 years.
And just a nice guy, too, from everything, you know.
Yeah, from what I hear, stays out of the, you know, the whole celebrity circles outside of his filming. He goes to, you know, the same church every Sunday. He's a pretty down-to-earth guy from what I hear. And, you know, obviously it's paid off well for him. I'm sure there's a certain place you got to go mentally in order to get into these roles that he does.
Yeah.
I'm sure the outside, and you know, any outside distractions are of no benefit to him.
And he's gone to Broadway the last few years, and he's done, you know, those August Wilson plays, which are pretty tough. And,
must be amazing.
And then what's the other one that he did with... The one, Sidney Poitier did it in the movie, A Raisin in the Sun.
Oh, right.
And
yes,
he did that on
the
stage, and I think he won a Tony Award for that. And just, you know, I mean, theater is tough in itself, and to do that as he has, and to continue to do that.
Yeah, to continue, to stay relevant, really.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing, is staying relevant. In Hollywood, right?
Yeah. Did you watch the other thing that people who watch award shows, and I'm interested to know if you do the same, is for the dresses and the fashion. I mean,
of course. Yeah. You know, when I was watching with my daughter, right, the older one, and she goes, they should just have a show with the girls, all the women, because, like, why even show the men? They all look the same.
Yeah,
all the
tuxedos,
men wear the same suit. It's
true.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, you're right. I think they just show the guys to just, hey, this guy's here. But really, you know, we're all watching the red carpet to see who's wearing what. And it's usually the women. So, yes, definitely looked at the fashion. Queen Latifah looked amazing. Jane Fonda, I have no idea what she was wearing. Did you see what she was wearing?
Yeah, it was a white thing that looked kind of frilly.
What was that?
Yeah.
I have no idea. So that was horrid. Viola Davis looked gorgeous.
By the way, we were talking about the actress in a TV show category, which Taraji P. Henson won.
Yes.
They were up against each other for the Emmy, Viola Davis for her show. Have you seen that show, by the way?
No, I haven't.
How to Get Away with Murder. I watched a couple of those over Christmas. I thought it was... She's a wonderful actress herself. But she comes from the theater, too, so...
Yeah, no, I've heard of it. But, you know, I think I've told you my thing with TV shows, right? Like, it's like relationships.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get too committed to one, like, more than one. So I can only commit to one TV show per season.
Yeah, see, that's a show I watched over Christmas because we were looking for something to watch. It's not a show that I'd go back to anytime soon. Like, I need to know what happens next. But
okay, so
I recognize just how remarkable, how good she was in a one-hour drama. She's marvelous on film. I mean, we saw her in The Help and Doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Both nominated for Oscars.
I'll check it out, though.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
It's a Shonda Rhimes show, which everybody loves Shonda Rhimes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it? Because the guy on the red carpet said something about a Shonda Rhimes show, and she said that the producer or direct creator was actually somebody else. Like, he was really embarrassed.
No, she doesn't she own Thursday Night with How to Get Away with Murder, Scandal, and then Grey's Anatomy? It's not that order, I know, but...
Oh, I don't know.
She has all three shows on the One Network on Thursday nights.
Well, good for her. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, aside from Jane Fonda, though, I didn't see anyone else that was too crazy dressed.
Yeah. Well, we can all watch...
Oh, you know what? Yeah. Peter Norwalk is the creator of How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, okay, but it's not a Shonda Rhimes show? I thought she...
She's a producer on there. She's an executive producer.
Oh, I see, okay.
But the creator is Peter Norwalk, yeah. The guy on the red carpet said the same thing, and she corrected him. I thought that was so embarrassing for him. Yeah. I was like, oh, poor guy. Isn't that your worst nightmare, on the red carpet?
I've had that happen at interviews. People correct me, and then thankfully I have, you know, I don't say anything. I've tried not to say anything
right. That
was incorrect, and I just said, well, no, this is where I got from this website, and they say, oh, well, we need to correct that. But... one thing that I've noticed that I do on the show a lot is I don't know how to pronounce people's names. And I will say, did I pronounce your name correctly? And they'll correct me.
Right.
And I'll forget and then end up pronouncing their name
wrong.
Yeah, again, so.
That kind of sucks. They probably think you're being a little shit.
Yeah, like, or just...
Is that a jab? Like, what are you doing, buddy? You just asked me.
Yeah, and I just wish I could do better, but, you know...
I wish I could do better, but
well, that's, whatever. That's why they have producers in radio, and I don't have one, so...
I don't have a producer, exactly. Yeah. You don't have people.
Yeah, it's shouting
exactly
in your ear.
That's why we need sponsors, so then we can afford people.
We can hire a producer, yeah.
Help us get our shit together. Apparently... Joseph has problems sounding out names.
Yeah, that's how I'll spell it out, you know, like Jack E.
You know, when you cough, how we learn syllables and stuff.
Phonetic, yeah.
Right? Break it down.
I heard you went to a hockey game this weekend.
I did. It was my first game ever, my first Canucks game ever in life.
You know, it's funny, when I talk to people from out of town, other countries from the United States, they all assume, because I live in Vancouver or I live in Canada, that I'm a hockey fan. And so I tell them no, and they say, well, at least you've been to a Canucks game. I've never been to one, and Saturday you went to one for the first time. So what was that like for you?
It was, you know what, honestly, I'm not even a hockey fan, right? So when I initially got the tickets, I was not planning on going.
Yeah.
My daughter's tutor gave them to her, and... I was expecting to just send her with, you know, like her dad or her uncle or something, but that didn't work out. So at the last minute, I had to go. And I thought, oh, God, this is going to be a waste of a ticket because I'm not interested in hockey at all.
Yeah.
Especially the Canucks. I mean, I got to say, I'm not one of those bandwagoners. I'm not a sometimes fan. I'm not a fan of hockey or the Canucks. So I thought it was going to be a waste. Needless to say, I figured, you know, it's a night with my little one, and we can try and enjoy it. And we went, and it's honestly, I think it's more of the atmosphere than anything. that gets you really pumped up. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It actually went by quite quickly. Oddly enough, the time goes by really quickly. It's not like when you're watching it on TV.
Yeah, because the games are like 2-3 hours, aren't they? Something.
Yeah, there was like so much going on that, you know, we were planning to leave a few minutes early so that we could beat the traffic going home.
Yeah.
And we ended up staying until third period, which I totally forgot. I was thinking it was like basketball or something. I thought there were four quarters, but there's three periods. So, so whatever. We ended up staying until overtime. And you can't leave during overtime. That's
Yeah, apparently it was a tie game because I was in a bar at the same time that this was all happening, and I looked up on the screen and the Canucks and the Tampa Bay Peoples were 1-1 or something, or tied 2-1 or 2-2. Yeah, and then it went to overtime.
Yep.
And so I guess the atmosphere in the building that changed altogether.
Oh, it was amazing. It was so exciting. And then that, you know, and then Sophia got really jacked up because it was like 5 minutes and she knew it was like, you know, this is the make or break it. And the Canucks were making a lot of shots and each one was like so close. It was really exciting. And I was like, oh my God, I never thought I'd be this excited at a hockey game. But we quite enjoyed it. And yeah.
People in this country, I mean, not in this country, in this city, I should say, are really hockey crazy. Because, I mean, I was looking at, you posted a photo or something on Facebook saying that you were at the hockey game. And then I looked at Facebook that night, and at least three, four, five people, including yourself, were at that same game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I had, like, two, three other people on my Facebook that were there that, you know, we were kind of like, oh, hey. You're here too. That's cool. And I saw actually one of our old classmates from school, Alvin. Mm-hmm. Saw him there with his family, and so that was nice. And it's always nice bumping into old, you know, old friends and people from school and stuff. So yeah, I saw some people I hadn't seen for a while. It seems like Canucks games are the place to be. Really, apparently.
Would you go back?
You know, I think I would.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would, you know, spend, like, top dollar on, like, crazy tickets, but I think I would definitely go again, maybe if another team. I know my daughter actually is really into the Red Wings, so she was really hoping that the Red Wings were there. So, you know, who knows, maybe in the future one day if they come to town, we'll go and see them. But, yeah, I have to say, quite surprisingly, it was quite exciting, and we enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah, I've been to baseball games at Nat Bailey, the Canadians, and I enjoyed those. And
are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, I like baseball. Out of all the sports to watch, I think that's the only one.
I like baseball, but I used to love baseball. But last time I went to a game, I almost died.
The ball came at you?
Literally died. No, just sheer boredom.
Oh, okay.
It was 1,000 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And alcohol was so expensive, I just thought it was ridiculous. So I was like, this is not what I was expecting.
I'd actually like to go to a Whitecaps game just because I want to see what the stadium is like. Because I haven't been in the stadium. Well, I think I have been in the stadium since they rebuilt it or did the roof or whatever.
Oh, really?
But I was there for like a show or something. You know, not a athletic thing. I was there for like an expo.
Something else, right.
Yeah. But I'd like to see how the thing looks now that they redid the thing.
Yeah, actually, I've been wanting to see it for a while myself. I haven't... Ooh, no, have I been... I did go to a Whitecaps game.
Yeah.
But I can't... Yeah, I don't go to these things often, so I can't necessarily remember where it was.
Yeah.
But...
Well, but
you know, Whitecaps are good too.
Yeah, but the Lions. I mean, everything's so expensive. It's good to know that it's actually worth it. Worthwhile, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, like the Canucks game. I can say definitely. It's definitely more the atmosphere and the fans and the, you know, like the solidarity that the fans all have. That's what makes it exciting, and all the stuff that they have going on
The national anthem?
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
All the kids on the Jumbotron. It's just a fun time.
Yeah.
So it was a good experience for her, and we can now say it. We can now say that we've done it at least. So.
You're a real Vancouverite.
That we are now, apparently. We weren't before, I guess.
I'll talk to you next week. Have a good week.
Absolutely. In Vancouver, I'm Jackie Pierre.
That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, January 11th. We'll be back in 7 days.